We're going to mention some things related to that of cleaning for Pesach and as well as Chametz on Pesach itself. For cleaning for Pesach, many people are nohig to kasher their counters. There's a particular issue when it comes to kashering your counter on Pesach. The major issue you have when it comes to kashering your counter is as follows. Assuming you have a granite counter, some other type of thing like that. So the way you kasher your counter is that according to the Shulchan Aruch, the way you kasher it is you go according to Rov Tashmisho. Rov Tashmisho means the majority of the way it's actually used. How is the majority used? The majority of the way it's used is in the fact that you put cold things down, you put items down on the counter, that's how you use it. But a miut Tashmisho, a minority of use that people have with it, is that people put down hot items, oftentimes hot chametz. So what does hot chametz mean? Hot chametz can mean a piece of macaroni from the pot falls onto your counter, you take it off and it's hot. Or many times people think that they have granite countertops, they can put anything on it, they don't need trivets. Sure, you don't need trivets, but once you don't need trivets, you realize you're putting yourself into a chametz problem. People bake bread, and they'll put the bread directly on the counter. So now, once you put bread directly on the counter, so now the heat of that bread goes into the counter. We call it kedei klipa, which is a thin layer that will go on it, that would require another level of kashering for that process. So a person is mocked for the whole year. They're stringent. They never allow anything on their counter. So then for them to pour boiling water on the counter is fine. Just heat up a pot, pour it on, not really a problem. But once you have the issue of hot chametz touching the counter, then you have another issue, and that is it's actually going a little bit deeper in the counter, and boiling water will not suffice. And therefore, you need to use what's known as an Evan Meluban, which we have discussed already, which is the hot rock approach, which is actually quite difficult, and it makes your whole counter a mess. So for Svardim, there's leniency in that we go according to Rov Tashmisho, which means the majority way they use your counter is less of an issue. There might be poskim and Svardim that are stringent, but in general, the Shulchan Aruch says, we're not worried about it. You go according to the majority of the way you actually use it. So for Svardim, pouring boiling water would technically suffice. But for Ashkenazim, who are concerned, this says the Ramah, for Mia Tashmisha, which means for the minority way of use that you have it. So if a chalent, piece of chalent falls on the counter, pasta, bread, any of those things. So then we're concerned that there has now leaked in. If it has now leaked in, you need to kasher with an Evan Meluban, and that becomes a greater problem. This is why most Ashkenazim, you'll find, they cover their counters. Svardim, you'll find, in many cases, don't cover the counters, but Ashkenazim will cover their counters because it's such a major hassle to be able to kosher your counters in this way. So there is another approach that people have, which we mentioned, the idea of the iron. There is a heavy steam methodology. So just to clarify this, I spoke to a few people that do the steam cleaning with the heavy steam. So one person has it. It's approximately a $1,200 steamer that gets exceedingly hot. And the issues are, number one, you're water has to be very hot, and it also cannot turn to steam. So you're kind of stuck in the following place. The water that's in your steamer needs to reach anywhere between 190 and 212 degrees in order to kosher your counter. What happens if it's below 190? Well, it's not hot enough to kosher. What happens if above 212? It's no longer water, now it's steam. So you have to get it in this 22 degree range in order to kosher it appropriately. What happens if it goes above? So if it goes above, so then what you do is you would actually go over the counter twice. The first time you're doing hot steam. The second time you're doing steam, but you're steaming the water that's already on the counter, boiling that, and that's how you would actually kosher the counter for Ashkenazim. That's how you would do it in this scenario. So just keep this in mind. Always recommend that just cover your counters. Your life would be so much easier. Question on that.
There is a liquid seal of the bread.
Huh?
Yeah,
it's not a bona fide liquid sealer, and therefore you're still going to need to kosher. Liquid sealer is not going to prevent.
Yeah, you wash it down real good with heavy soap.
Yeah.
Okay. You wash it clean. You put your boiling water on it, and then you seal it.
No, it doesn't work because the boiling water didn't take off the chametz. You'd have to the sealant. I understand does work, but it doesn't take out that chametz level of what the sealant actually does for the granite. So you'd still have to do it on another level, and that's why you're probably going to need to cover it as your best bet in that scenario. So that's one thing is related to that. Another thing related, which we mention every year, is that, keep in mind, chametz gets in weird places. So one place you should check is your phone. Your phone and your phone case, because you eat by your phone, you get into your phone cases, you're on your home phones, you know, fine, you have to check that. But anything that has gook on it, light switches and phones and things like that, and then keyboards as well. Oftentimes, chametz will get in keyboards. That's another area you want to be able to check for chametz. So those are two major things you have. And then one other thing I just want to present, and that is with regards to chametz on Pesach itself. So on Pesach itself, you're not allowed to eat along somebody that has chametz at the same table. So even though technically I can eat across them, and let's say a non-Jew or somebody's eating treif, because I would never eat treif. So he's eating there, I'm eating here. It's not something that I'm so concerned about. But chametz, I am concerned about that. So when it comes to if a person's at work and he has coworkers and they're eating at the same table, they shouldn't actually eat at the same table because of the fact that it's a low bottom, meaning a person is usually not so against chametz. It's only for 8 days he is against chametz. So therefore, you should never eat at a table with someone else eating chametz. Practically, this also generally applies when you're sitting in an airplane and the guy next to you has chametz, then you shouldn't necessarily be eating at the same time when you have that, because of the fact that if you have your Pesach food and they have their chametz food, it's way too close to each other. Also, just keep in mind, if you are flying over Pesach, oftentimes airlines have no idea what the kashrus that they're serving. They just serve what they have, and sometimes they will give you chametz food with a tremendously wonderful hechsher on it, but it'll be chametz because they got it from the week before. And you just have to be careful with that, and you'll find it that the airlines will be serving chametz food on Pesach, and they'll be serving Pesach food after Pesach. So just keep this in mind. The airlines don't necessarily know what they have. They just pull it out and just give it to you. Something to keep in mind when you're flying over Pesach holiday.